You may have noticed that over the past couple of months, our church has increased its social media presence. Back in the fall, we made changes to our Facebook page, and then last month, we launched a new church website. Now, does a church really need a Facebook page? I mean, somehow the body of Christ has managed to survive 2,000 years without funny cat videos and pictures of what my cousin made for dinner last night. But there's a reason that we are doing these things. First of all, there's the obvious reason to share information among the congregation. When is the next youth outing? What's the menu for Wednesday night supper? How do you spell the preacher's first name? The internet provides a fast, easy, convenient way for us to share information like this. But there's another, more compelling reason to expand this social media footprint into the world. Last Sunday, we looked at the scripture passage in which Jesus tells the parable about the lamp. No one, he says, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a basket. No, when you light a lamp, you place it high up on a lampstand so that it illuminates the entire house. This lamp, as Jesus tells his followers, are the people. You are the light, he says to them. And the followers of Jesus, they are light, and the light that they radiate is nothing less than the reflected glory of God. They are supposed to shine. There are many ways that we may reflect God's glory. One way is through our personal relationships, how we treat people. That is a reflection of our relationship to God. If you treat people poorly, then your relationship with God is probably not that strong. If you treat people with love and compassion, the world will see that you walk in God's path. Another way to be light and to reflect God's glory is to allow the world to witness who we are as a church. And that it's for this very reason that, well, we have a sign out on Main Street that identifies this building as the home of First Presbyterian Church. A church is not meant to be a secret organization. It's not meant to be hidden under a basket. We also want the world to know who we are and how to find us, because that is what Jesus instructs us to do. Be a lamp on a lampstand. Be a city on a hill. Churches can shine their light in many ways. Between here and my home, I pass at least two billboards where churches have purchased ad space. It must work for them. They've had those billboards for several years. In earlier times, we purchased ads in the Yellow Pages. Parents, you can explain that to your children later. And we made sure that we were listed in the church directory section of the local newspaper. But then, Al Gore invented the internet and things changed. Now our light can shine anywhere. If, say, a person has recently relocated into Wilson County, and that person is searching for a church home, with this internet, they can, well, look at our website and virtually check us out. Or, say, someone was out of state in Ohio, and they're considering moving here. They may wonder, when I get there, will there be a Presbyterian church? What is it like? And hopefully, Google will lead them to our webpage and they can check us out. And then there's Facebook, where Michael has done an outstanding job of posting regular updates. And Facebook is different from a website because it is a network. And Michael, with his work, has doubled the number of people who like us and follow us. You laugh. But that is important because, well, we don't want to be popular, but each of these likes connects us to more people and more networks, and our light shines brighter. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. But then, a couple weeks ago, Michael suggested to me that in addition to Facebook and this webpage, we should be on Yelp. And I said no. Because Yelp is a site where people post reviews on businesses and services, and apparently churches too. I do use it when I'm out of town traveling and I need to pick a restaurant. And on Yelp, you can review car mechanics and dry cleaners, taco stands, roofers, pretty much anything. But as I see it, the danger here is that, well, anybody can post anything. And good reviews, those are great. But a bad one, ugh, that can be devastating. And there have been instances where a business has sued someone to force them to rescind their bad review. And so to me, as pastor of a church, this is terrifying. Michael, however, he persisted and he made a strong case for this being another way to shine our light brighter. So I promised him I would keep an open mind if he would just give me some time to survey some reviews of other churches, see what people were writing. And I did. And I have to report to you that that was fascinating. And I'd like to take a moment and share with you some of the things that I dredged up. Now, most reviews of churches are positive. People say good things about where they worship. And they get 5-star reviews. And here are a couple of those 5-star reviews. Pastor is truly a man of God, cares about his church, and helps the community. That's a great one. I want to go to that church. Another one. We are elated to have a church family as friendly, welcoming, caring, and as enriching as we find here. Another good statement. What terrific people and a great facility. Never felt more welcome. The sanctuary is beautifully lined with stained glass. Maybe somebody could write that about us. And this is one. Really, there's not a higher compliment that you can give a church. This place will heal your soul and your spirit if you are broken. 5-star reviews, they are to be treasured. But then at the other end, there are the 1-star reviews. And to be honest, they usually reveal more about the reviewer than they do the church itself. And so here's one. If you just want to laugh, this church is the place. If you want to hear the gospel, go somewhere else. That one stings. Here's one. The building itself is beautiful, but we went to the most horrible wedding here. That has nothing to do with the church. I just didn't like the wedding. This one. This church is super awesome and cool. I love this church, but not as much as West Haven. So I don't know why they're not going to West Haven. And sometimes, occasionally, that 1-star review lands on the pastor. I don't recommend. Pastor's wife is very sweet, but the pastor is arrogant and won't discuss anything that he falls short on. Folds his arms and sulls up. I learned a new word here. I didn't know the term to sull up. I assume it has to, it's part of sullen. And so the person could have said folds his arms and become sullen. But this really is much more descriptive. Folds his arms and sulls up. And then the next to last one. This is actually my favorite. And it gives you a clear sense of the reviewer's priorities. I love this church. On all exclamation points here. I love this church. Clean bathrooms and auditorium. They don't stop there. The pastor is great. Now, I would like to be reviewed as a great pastor, but I would like to be listed ahead of the toilet. Pastor, then bathroom. And lastly, there is the church review that you never want to read. I visited here and nobody talked to me. Now, the truth about these reviews that we see are that words have consequences. Our words have power. The power to build up and the power to tear down. What we say to other people and about other people is a reflection of our relationship with our Lord. And Jesus addresses this in our reading for today. Today's reading is part of the great Sermon on the Mount, which we find in the Gospel of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount starts off with the Beatitudes, those statements where Jesus assigns blessings to the wretched and despised of the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, and so on. And then after describing these blessed, Jesus then tells the crowd of listeners that they are to be light. They are to illuminate the world with God's glory. And then, in our reading for today, Jesus offers specific teachings on how his followers may fully reflect God's light. In Jesus' day, and today, and all through human history, there have been certain rules or laws that we know that we must follow if we wish to lead godly lives. For Jews and Christians, our scripture provides the commandments as the basic parameters for living with God. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not lie. Worship God and God alone. And Jesus augments these commandments with his own injunctions to love your neighbor and treat others as you would have them treat you. These commands establish the baseline of how we should live as Christians in this world. But even the most well-intentioned of the faithful among us, we have the tendency to just want to follow the letter of the law and proclaim, that's adequate. I've done enough. We consider that following the law is good enough, but the laws of God are meant to be instructive to us. They are meant to guide us in how we might best live life abundantly. Jesus begins our reading today saying, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. That first statement, you shall not murder, it is one of the Ten Commandments. The second is a summary of a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. Both of these statements are clear prohibitions against murdering a human being. And those in that crowd hearing Jesus speak to them, when he says this, they no doubt nod their heads, as you are doing. And they think to themselves, yes, I've heard this before. And yes, I've obeyed this law. I have not murdered anybody. I am good. Jesus, however, argues that if anyone harbors anger with another person, they will be just as liable to judgment as if they had murdered them. Likewise, insulting someone or calling them raka is just as much a form of murder as murder itself. And raka is a word that we translate as fool, but it was much more than that. It was a very serious indictment in those days. As we would say today, it's a fighting word. What Jesus is teaching the crowd is that simply not murdering anyone is only the bare minimum of God's law. Killing comes in many forms. In God's eyes, it is as bad to kill someone as it is to kill a relationship. In God's eyes, saying, "You are dead to me," is a form of murder. Why? Because God desires that we live in relationship. If our relationships with others are broken, then our relationship with God is incomplete. To help us understand this, Jesus offers this scenario. He says that when you come to the synagogue with a gift for God, and on the way you remember that someone you know holds a grudge against you, what you should do is leave that gift. Leave it there at the altar and go. Go make up with the other person. And then you may return and offer your gift to God with a clear heart. A gift offered in love is far more valuable than a gift clouded with anger. Murder carries the consequence of judgment. But so does the murder of a relationship. We can murder with our words and with our insults. Jesus' lesson to his followers is to challenge them to embrace God's law in a new way, in a way that fully reflects God's glory. And Jesus' purpose here, as he says, is not to replace the law, but to unleash its transformative power, to lead God's people from saying, "I have not murdered," to announcing, "I've brought reconciliation to damaged relationships. Where there was anger, there's now forgiveness. Where there was insult, there is now peace. Where a relationship was dead, there is resurrection." When we can do this, we will find that we are closer to God's kingdom. And you, all of us, as followers of Christ, I would urge you to consider the commandments of God and Jesus and ponder the ways that they may lead you to the kingdom. Now, to finish, I want to say that I did spend some time looking at reviews, and after surveying that uneven landscape of online comments, I decided that maybe Yelp was worth the risk. So we signed up. And now, if you go to Yelp and you search on churches in Lebanon, Tennessee, we're right there at the top. And if you feel moved to leave a review, I would encourage you to do so. That will help our church's light shine just a little brighter. And if maybe possibly you're compelled to make mention of, "Oh, the excellent preaching at this church," I won't stop you. Just mention me ahead of the toilets. That's all I ask. Amen.